This psalm we're going to look at this morning, Psalm 126, comes in the middle of a group of psalms from 120 to 134. And in my Bible, they're entitled A Pilgrim's Song. It is generally agreed that they were sung in connection with the great yearly pilgrimage when everybody went up to Jerusalem, and it ended in the entry into the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. The psalms have been arranged in such an order that the opening psalms deal with threats and difficulties of various kinds that you might encounter on a long pilgrimage as you travel far from the comfort of your own home. The collection ends with the entry into the sanctuary itself in the inner part of the temple. And in Psalm 134 verse 2 we read, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and the praise of the Lord." The purpose of the pilgrimage has been triumphantly achieved. They've reached their goal. They left home, they've travelled through thick and thin, and they've reached their destination. The most well-known of the psalms in this collection, Psalm 121, focuses on the difficulties on the long journey to Jerusalem and the comfort that the Lord brings to those that take the journey. God has given a very strong promise of his presence and his protection during the long journey to Jerusalem. As the pilgrims contemplated the hills and the valleys, the rivers, the dry and dusty places they must face before they reach their goal, before they reach Jerusalem. And they can draw comfort from the knowledge that the God of creation walks every step of that way. Every step he travels with them. Doesn't that sound a bit like the 23rd Psalm when you look at it? The Lord was with that sheep, as it's about sheep. The Lord was with those sheep every step of the way. When you get home and you get time, turn to those Psalms 120 to 134 and read them in one go, and you'll see the story of the pilgrimage that they made unfold. The six verses of Psalm 126 that we read from start to finish are full of joy. They're full of hope. They're full of excitement. They're full of gladness. Those six verses are divided into two sets of three. The first three show the joy of the people at their deliverance. They've arrived home. It doesn't explain in the Bible where God had delivered them from, but he'd brought them obviously back from captivity somewhere. He'd brought them back to Jerusalem, and they were joyful. They were pleased. In the last few years, we've seen many people, haven't we, come back to this country. Many of our military soldiers, sailors and airmen coming home. Unfortunately, some of them through Royal Wooden Bassett. Those young men and women that have given their lives for the safety of this country. But we've also seen regiments, as they've come home and proudly marched through the streets of their hometown and their cities. It's been a time, hasn't it, of great joy and celebration for the families and the friends as their loved ones came home. Those men and women have been passed through times of danger, hardship, boredom, loneliness, and they've been homesick. They've suffered on that journey, but I'm sure all of them have one thing in their minds: the day they come back home, the day they'll return back to their home to see their loved ones and their families. I ask you this question, and I ask myself it. As Christians, are we pilgrims? Are we on a journey looking forward to our homecoming? Our eyes set on heaven, where it will be said of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Are we looking forward to that as we're on this journey, this pilgrimage? When I was a teenager at the church I used to go to, the head girl of Latimer School went to the church. Very, very clever, talented young lady, very much liked. It was a pleasure to know her. One day she was taken ill and rushed to North Middlesex Hospital, where her parents were called and told that unfortunately there was no hope, she was going to die. When this young lady found out what was happening, you could hear the corridors of the hospital and the wards ringing to her singing. She was singing hymns and choruses at the top of her voice. The staff went to her and told her to be quiet, to save her energy. She would need it. What do you think her reply was? "I'm going home. I'm going home. I've got something to sing about. And I want people to know how glad and joyful I am to go home, to be with my Saviour in heaven." That young lady was just 18 years old at that time. When John Bunyan wrote his book, and I must admit I haven't read it for many years, Pilgrim's Progress, he knew that to be a Christian life would not be easy. There will be times when we will be down in the valleys. There'll be times when we're on top of the mountains. There'll be times when we're cheesed off, times when we hurt, times when we're sad, times when we're grieving. But he also knew that there'll be times when we will be rejoicing and praising God and singing wonderful hymns. But one thing we know is that God will be by our side and take every step of the journey with us on our pilgrimage. We may let God down, we may at times feel he's not there, but God will always be there on our journey, at our side. Verse 3 in the psalm, we read that the Lord has done great things for us, and they will be filled with joy. These pilgrims realized, as the psalm says, that God had done great things for them on that journey. He'd kept them safe, he'd been with them, and they were full of joy. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God has done great things for us? As I go round the few churches preaching, I don't go to many, but as I do, and I look out at the congregation sitting there, at the faces, sometimes I think, these poor people, they've got all the burdens of the world on their shoulders. They look so unhappy, so miserable. Do we believe that the Lord has done great things for us? We should be full of joy and laughter, shouldn't we? And full of hearty singing. We have something to sing about. God has done great things for us. He's led us and he's leading us all the way to home, to a wonderful, wonderful home. The last three verses, 4-6, is in the form of a prayer for their deliverance to come. You say, well, they've arrived, they're home. Why are they praying for the deliverance to be continued? Because when the people got to Jerusalem after many years, the city was in ruins. Where there had been great buildings, there was rubble. Where there was beautiful parks and gardens, there was weeds and thorns. And the land had been neglected for so long that the crops were very poor or fouled. They prayed for revival in the land. It came, didn't it, by the tears and the sweat of their brows. They had to roll up their sleeves and get stuck in. God heard their prayer and gave them their answer. He made that city more beautiful and bigger and greater. God had heard their prayers, but they had to do the work. In the URC at the moment, they've got this, where do you want to be in 2020? The church is asking God for revival. In those questions, where do we want to be in 20 years' time? We want revival. How did it come in Psalm 126, verse 5? By the people sowing in tears. By prayers and getting stuck in and rolling up their sleeves. And a reward for all their hard work was that God made a promise that those that sow in tears will reap with joy. You know that every revival, whether in this land or overseas, starts with individuals, just ordinary people, just people like you and I, going out to invite people into the church to hear the good news about God and Jesus. A thought for you: if just one person in this church today went out and brought one person this year into the church, that would be two. If those two people went out the year after and brought in two more people, that would be four. And if you work it out in 10 years' time, that means there will be over 500 people brought into this church by just that one person. So if you multiply the number of people here today by 500, this church would be packed, wouldn't it? There would be really revival in this church. The people came back. They came back to Jerusalem. They found it in ruins. As Christians on our pilgrimage, we know we're not going to go to heaven and find it in ruins. It will be a wonderful place. How many people are in your church? Think of it. One of you could bring in 10 years, 500 people. This church would be flowing, wouldn't it? Be overstocked with people. You'd be spoilt for choice in things you could do. So many here. Yes, serving Jesus, as these people in Psalm 126 found on their pilgrimage, it was a time of joy when they reached the promised Jerusalem. And I'll finish with just this little thought. If you forget everything else I've said this morning, let's just think of this one little thought. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit that's always in season. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that's always in season. Amen.